Are you curious about bodies, pleasure, and possibilities? And what about curious about what others are up to on the planet when it comes to pleasure, sex, and play? Have you considered what pleasure can do for your life, your body, and your bank account? Do you know something magical, delightful, and out of this world orgasmic is not only possible for you, but totally available to you? If you're ready to be the magical, sexual, sexy beast you know you can be, and you just need the tools to get there, you're in the right place. Now, here is the host of The Pleasure Zone, sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, and holistic health practitioner, Milica Jelinic.
Welcome, my sweet, sweet pleasure seekers. We are having a very fun day today because we're going to be talking about surrender and submission and what is that. And for some of you, that those words might be a little scary, and that's okay. We're going to dive into that and how we can reframe our thoughts on that. So one of the things that I, in my life, have had issue with is surrender. I know, crazy, right? I would say that I would have defined myself as a bit of a control freak growing up. I was even a bit of a control freak around many things, a little almost OCD level when it would come to things like cleaning and organization. And now I'm like way more freeform. And I find that other things are far more important, that I can not have to control my environment so much anymore. Also, the more that I healed a lot of trauma, the less I felt the need to control my environment. So now my desk is chaos, and I still like to be organized. And what I would really like is to actually have people who could just like do all the stuff for me so that I don't have to do it, and everything can be like organized and I don't have to do it. That would be great. But when I was younger, I needed to even do it for me. I remember being like probably 7 or 8 years old, and I had a very set way of putting all my like little jijamijas, or in English, knickknacks, on my thing that you put your clothes in, dresser. Ugh, thank you, menopause. I can remember strange things in random languages, and randomly English leaves me. Dresser. I have to like feel it out in my brain. If you're watching me, I have to like actually visualize that I'm touching a dresser. So I had like all these decorative things on my dresser, and there was like a set way that they sat. And I was, even as like a 7 year old, I wouldn't really have to be told to dust them. I would dust them pretty much like every week. I had a set way that I made my bed, which was very clinical. My grandmother taught me how to do hospital corners. I made my bed with hospital corners, put my dolls on my bed in an arranged set. They had their own furniture. I made their beds. They got dressed every day. Had 4 Cabbage Patch Kids, still have them. I was an organized mama. So that was around the age of 9 that I got my first Cabbage Patch Kid. But I was a very organized mama. And there wasn't a lot of surrender happening. I was very much right and in control of everything all the time. And it wasn't until the last 12 years of my life that I felt safe enough to be able to surrender, to feel that submission is okay. What does that even mean? Like, what is submission and the art of surrender? Like, what am I just like giving up all my will to live and all my own thoughts? No, not at all. One of the things that, if you in your life have ever been in fight or flight for a really long time, and you might have experienced like traumas, multiple traumas, a lot of stress, and not had ways to navigate that, you're not going to know how to let go. You're not going to know how to let your body come out of fight or flight or frozen. And you're going to be stuck in those modes, or fawn, constantly people pleasing. You're going to be stuck in those modes, and your vagus nerve is going to be off. You know, you got all kinds of things that will be responding, constantly firing off information. And the chances are that you won't be able to surrender. So when I look at people's bodies, and I work with bodies a lot, I do body work on people. That's a kind of somatic body work called the mitzvah technique. At least I would say that it falls under the category of somatic. We work on bodies and we move them in order for the to find a place in the body where it's willing to just let go a little bit. It's not, we're not looking for the 100% change, but that 1% shift and that 1% letting go through being able to allow the body to have better posture, and through movement to create better posture, the body can let go. It can feel confident, and you can have a posture of confidence. Your body also will start to let go of things like pain, emotional pain, physical pain. So emotional pain, that's a big umbrella. Things under emotional pain could be all kinds of things in relationships where you've been dissatisfied, or you might have felt traumatized or lived through extreme stresses, or there's it's a huge umbrella, that emotional stress. Physical stress as well, there's a huge umbrella there too. You know, you can name any body part and different kinds of pains in those body parts. When your body is in those modes of being stressed, what happens is that you are not going to feel connected, and you're not going to feel like you're in a space of trust because you're in a place of fight. So if you're fighting with somebody and you're fighting with them often, is there anything, this is just a question. If you're fighting with somebody often, is there an energy there that you trust them? Or is there an energy there that you don't actually trust what they have to say, so you need to argue with them? So when I was little, I was a massive arguer. I didn't trust anybody or their opinions or their information. They were all probably, I do know that I looked at a lot of adults and thought they just don't know anything. And looking back, it's probably arrogant to say, but I was strangely more educated than probably a lot of the adults that I was surrounded by in some circles, not in all circles. Definitely some of the circles, there was highly educated people that we were around and that questioned things and would look at things in different ways. And then there were groups where that absolutely didn't happen, and that frustrated me. And I think as I started to realize how much of a sapiosexual I am, that I'm attracted to people who are highly intelligent, that being around people that I didn't see as intelligent was frustrating to me. And I was like, why, what am I doing here if I have nothing to learn from these people? What's the point? What's the point of having a connection if I learn nothing and I can't surrender because I don't feel like they know more than me? And that's a weird thing when you're little, to think that how can I learn from you when I don't trust that you know anything more than I do? Took quite a long time for me to find teachers that I felt were actually, that I would say, oh, you know what? You do know more than me. Not only do you know more than me, I trust that what you've learned are things that I, if I went out and did them or went out and experienced them or tested your theories, that that would be true and accurate. And in order to learn, you also need to be able to surrender. Surrender what you think you already know. So the art of surrender isn't just your body. It really begins, to me, the art of surrender begins in your mind. Being willing to let go of or open the door to new experiences and new thoughts. But if you aren't willing to surrender your old way of thinking or your old fixations, then there's no room for learning. And if there's no room for learning, then how do you learn more about you? How do you discover more about others? How do you discover more about the world? How do you lean into experiencing the world? It's really hard to do that. So the art of surrender for me and submission is far bigger than just, you know, having your feet tied up, which is delightful. It, when you're, you know, when you're into it and you like the kind of, you like the kink of bondage, when you like the kink of bondage, having your legs tied up or your hands tied up is delightful. It allows your body to know, especially if it's by somebody that you trust, it allows your body to know that it's safe and you're okay. And it can be incredibly healing, and it allows your body to go into a sort of a zone where you are in deep relaxation. And that deep relaxation allows your body to then kind of like reconfigure your nervous system so that you can get out of trauma and you can get into healing. So when you look at some of the places in your life where you're absolutely determined that you are right about something, just out of curiosity, ask yourself, if I open the door to a different possibility here, if I open the door to even question my own thoughts on this, if I open the door, what could be on the other side? What might be available to me if I open the door? Oh, that's a big one. And I know there's a lot of resistance. It's like, I don't want to open the door. I know I'm right. I know I'm right. And I'm not going to change my mind on that. That's cool. And some of those things you might actually truly be right on. Like you might know that for sure I'm not going to drink silver cleaner because it's going to kill me. I know I'm right about that. So I don't need to argue with you on whether drinking silver cleaner is good for me or not. I know it's not. And if I went to go test my body using different methods, for example, probably the easiest one is using, muscle testing. If I muscle tested my body to see whether it wants to drink silver cleaner or not, it would probably give me a big no, which is why I use it and when I teach people how to trust their body. So when you've been going through a time where you don't know how to surrender and you don't know how to get out of your own head on things, just start with the simple question. I wonder if I open the door to a new way of thinking, especially regarding a specific topic, what would that do for me? What could that open up for me? What if I didn't have to be right? And there are some things that you will know that you know. And then there are things that you don't know that you know. And then there are things that you know that you don't know. I saw this once when I was like in an NLP, I think it was an NLP training. It was in some kind of like, mind exploration kind of training back in the day. It was in my early 20s and it was such a great visual. There was like the circle and sphere of what we know. And then there are things that we don't know that we don't know. And then there are things that we know that we don't know. And then there's sometimes these overlaps, right? It's like a Venn diagram. And how do they overlap? What do we know that we don't know that we do know that we don't know? You know what I'm saying? It's a really cool Venn diagram if you've ever seen it. So the willingness to know that you don't know is in itself a surrender. Oh, I know that I don't know that. And it's okay not to know everything because can you possibly know everything that's available on this planet right now? I have no concept of how to be an aerospace engineer. In this lifetime, do I want to know that? No, I don't need to know that. These are things that I don't need to know. I don't require knowing how to be an aerospace engineer. The things that I do, what I would like to know and learn, as long as I choose into knowing and learning that, then I get to know that I know that. And when I look at that, things I'd like to learn, those are the things that I know that I don't know, and I get to go learn them. But in order to do that, I have to be able to surrender enough to admit that I don't know that I know that. And then actually engaging in something is a submission as well. So surrender the fight in your head of I have to know, I have to be right. And then the submission comes when you can relax into whatever it is. So when it comes to learning, it could be submitting into whatever temporarily, even submit to just the information temporarily, question it by all means, but submit for a minute. Just see what it feels like to allow that information in. And then you can decipher it because everybody has the ability to decipher things, I think. I don't know that there's any disorders where you can't decipher, but there might be. So let's say majority of people can decipher certain things. So surrendering starts and submission starts in your thoughts. And if it's something that you're struggling with to surrender in your thoughts, then sometimes what you can do is bypass that and surrender in the body first and let your body go through, say, an act of bondage with somebody that you truly trust or a practitioner like me who can take you through that in a way that is consensual, non-sexual, that is healing, and that allows you to be able to surrender so that you can allow your mind to also let go so that you can start to begin to learn and learn new patterns. See, this learning is really interesting stuff. You'll probably gain new information, but you also might learn something new, getting out of old patterns and maybe even getting into functional good habits, which might look like patterns to some people, but it will open your world to new experiences. We're going to head to our first commercial break. You're listening to The Pleasure Zone here on Inspired Choices Network, and we'll be right back after this commercial.
Are you secretly a voyeur, wondering what's going on in other people's sex lives? What if now is the time for a totally different sexual evolution? Are you interested in people who are pioneers of different sexual and pleasurable practices? Lean in now with Milica Jelinic, where she will entice you and your body to know your own pleasure zone. On the Pleasure Zone radio show with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic, you'll receive tools, inspiration, and a foundation to allow yourself to receive more in your sex life, and quite possibly other areas of your life as well. Listen for The Pleasure Zone with Milica every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific Time on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com.
Are you a subject matter expert? Are you here to share your expertise with an audience waiting to hear from you in only the way you can deliver? Are you ready to have your voice amplified across the airwaves? Inspired Choices Network has a global radio platform streaming to millions of people across the world. Professionally produced and supported by an accomplished team every step of the way, you can broadcast from anywhere in the world, knowing your voice matters, and we ensure it is delivered with ease and efficiency. Eager to hear your message, the world awaits. Contact us today to become an Inspired Choices Network radio host. Email becomeahost@inspiredchoicesnetwork.com.
This is The Pleasure Zone with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic. To participate in the program today, join our live studio audience in our chat room at inspiredchoicesnetwork.com. You can also make the choice to ask or comment by email, info@milicajelinic.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back, my sweet pleasure seekers. So in the last segment, I was kind of waxing lyrical about surrender and submission, and I'm sure I'm going to keep waxing on about things and waning on maybe too. But one of the things I did mention is that if you are looking to allow your body to have the experience of having going through bondage that's more of a healing experience so that you can learn to let go. So a wellness version of bondage, right? So there are sexual versions of bondage for sure. And then there are wellness versions of bondage. It's a little different energy that happens there. And it's probably been over a year, maybe 2 years since I had Gaia Morissette on, who is a fantastic, she's a fantastic dom. She also is a sexual wellness practitioner. And she has a great course that I took on using BDSM for healing. One of the things that really is a really great definition of the difference between BDSM for, say, for like arousal or pleasure or kink, and the difference between that and healing is that there is an energetic difference. You can see it, you can feel it. Intention is different. So if that's something that you're considering and you'd like to try, you know me, maybe you are feeling like you want to go on an adventure to try something new out, please do connect with me through my website. Send me an email. I do book retreats. I have retreats that are ongoing, but sometimes if there's like a set group of people, like up to six people that would like to come to a retreat, we can make that happen. So the retreats are where I live in Ontario, Canada, Marmara, Ontario, Canada. And if that's something that you would like to try, we have a separate space on the land where I do workshops. So just letting you know. So surrender and submission. I don't know what comes up in your mind when you think of surrender, but one of the first things when I would look at the word surrender in the past was, this sounds like warfare. It sounds like I'm giving into the enemy. So that isn't the reality, but I do think that I'm not the only one who has the idea that if you surrender in a relationship, that you are giving into the enemy. You're putting up the white flag and you're saying, victory is yours. I give up. I give in. I surrender. So for me now, it's very different. And one of the things that I found that makes it different is that surrender is, it's like when somebody gives you a really good hug and you just want to fall into them and your body just knows that it's safe. So you might take deep sighs, you might relax, your body might even just kind of feel weak in a way, but not weak as in not strong, just a weakness of I'm not fighting anymore. I can let go. That surrender is amazing. And there are so many great ways to practice surrender with your partner. One of them is, you know, get comfy in a place, whether it's on your bed or on a sofa, like pack up a bunch of pillows so that you're all comfy, kind of have some support up against a wall or a chair or a bed. And then have the partner who is going to be the one that is surrendered to sit up against those pillows, legs open in a comfortable position, get yourself super comfy. And then the other partner will just sit in between the legs. So like the genitals will come to the base of the spine and then you just lean in and let your partner, and you might even notice that your breath starts to connect with each other, and just let your body give in. Kind of like if you've ever held a baby and you hold them in such a way where you support their head and you support their bodies just let go and they become like dead weight, right? Like they're just like, oh, I can let go. They don't fight it. When you hold babies in other positions, they will try to stay active and alert. And, you know, I haven't held a baby in a while. It's been a few months, but the last time I got to work on a baby was delightful. It was a little Amish baby in her little Amish outfit. And she'd been a little bit colicky and crabby and all kinds of things. And so I was holding her in such a way that her body could just flop. You know the one where you kind of stick your hand under the baby and you hold their head and they kind of, their tummy goes on your forearm and they just flop and they're kind of like, their arms just flop over the side and the legs flop over the side and they're just like, oh. So relaxing. So I'm holding her and she's just farting away and her digestion starts to kick in. So adorable. So when our bodies can have that kind of like level of trust and relaxation, you know, the kind that when you're holding a baby and that baby trusts you and you can just let go. So surrender, in order to have surrender, it's really important to trust your partner. How do we develop trust? So to me, and I've talked about this a million times, if there are trust issues, you got to learn to trust you first. And I teach that in so many different ways, whether it's to trust your intuition and develop your intuition so that you can trust yourself, whether it's through observation, you just see a repetitive pattern where you know that you know what you know. So that's, you know, just clear knowing. Some people just have clear knowing and they're like, I know this, I know that I know. Cool. And sometimes through experimentation, testing the waters, can I trust this person? Can I not trust this person? Can I trust me around this person? Will I give up my knowing if I'm in the presence of so-and-so? And one thing that I used to do in my, you know, prior to being 25, maybe 30 even, I had this tendency to give up my knowing to people that I thought were cool or smarter than me, or maybe were more social than me. And I didn't really know how to socialize. So I would just be like, you know what you're doing. I trust that you know what you're doing. Even though that led me into some pretty yucky, you know, situations. I didn't trust that I knew what I was doing so much when it came to social situations. What I did trust was that I knew about certain things like human rights. I knew that I knew about that. I knew that I was like a human rights activist as like a child. I knew that some things were just not okay with me. Certain things were unjust and unfair, and I was not okay with it. I trusted that I knew that, but I didn't trust that I was friendly enough to get along with people. And frankly, I'm actually not that friendly. My husband laughs. He's like, "You're the most social of us." I'm like, "Yes, but we're looking at a very unsocial family." So comparatively, yes, I'm the most social of the family. Yes. However, in the grand scheme of things, I'm actually quite an introvert. I'm like an introverted extrovert. So it's funny when people are like my best friend right now is on like here commenting and saying, "No, you are so friendly." It's really funny, but I'm actually not innately friendly. So when people see that in me, it's because I trust you that I can be friendly with you. I can be jovial. I know how to socialize because I've observed it. So I've learned how. But growing up, no, I was not like a friendly child. I didn't really know how to be friendly. I watched people be friendly with each other and try to like learn how to make friends. But making friends the way they made friends never worked out for me. So I kind of had to learn. I kind of had to like learn how to be social. And I know now, because I live in a really small town of 1,000 people, I pretty much know all the people at the grocery store, all the people like wherever I go to do my, errands. I know them all. I know, a lot of the people walking around town. So you get to be friendly when you're living in a town of 1,000 people because it's inevitable. You're going to run into the same people repeatedly. And it's considered quite rude to not be friendly when you live in such a small town. So I really put myself into a challenge when I chose to move out here. Yay, me, challenging myself at all angles. So, yeah, my, yeah, so I was told many, many times, and this could be other people's observations, that I was not friendly growing up. So whatever, they could be right, right? So I'm willing to see that their perspective of me could be right. It's how they viewed me. Is it 100% true? I don't know, but I'm willing to see that as a possibility, and then learn from that. Like, what could I do? What am I doing that has people see me as unfriendly? So when I was little, I knew that it was because I have like resting bitch face. Like I don't smile 24/7. My face feels awkward when I smile 24/7, and my smile is funny. And I've actually had photographers like laugh at me when they say smile, and I'm like, I just don't know how to force a smile. I was a folk dancer for many years, and people would say, "Smile while you're dancing." I'm like, who smiles when they're dancing? I just need to like get the moves out. Other people knew how to like coordinate smiling and dancing. I was like, how do you coordinate? A, coordinating breathing and dancing is hard enough. Breathing and movement. And it's like when I could master walking and breathing, that was awesome. I still can't run and breathe. I can dance and breathe pretty okay now. But for a while I couldn't. So then throw smiling in there. Like, how many things do you want me to juggle all at once? You want me to do math at the same time? So no, that's not my thing. So I do look like generally people think that I'm either like unhappy or crabby. Not really, resting bitch face. So surrendering to know these things about yourself can be really helpful. That was a total tangent, guys, and you're welcome. But why I brought it up is because sometimes people will see things in us that we don't see in ourselves. And sometimes, if you're willing to be open just to see a little bit about what other people have to say about you, it might open your doors too. Because without me being willing to hear somebody's opinion of me, I wouldn't have this show. Actually, it took two people to give me their opinion of me and my knowledge to have this show. And that was 10 years ago, over 10 years ago. Actually, I think we're coming up to the exact anniversary of 11 years ago to when I was first introduced to the idea of my brilliance with sex information. So cool. So we are in a place and in a day and an age where, there's a lot of struggle, there's a lot of anger, there's a lot of stuff going on politically in the world. And so the idea of fight is really in the air. And, countries are going, I don't want to surrender ideas. I think part of the reason I wanted to talk about this show is because we tap into those things and our bodies don't know. And sometimes our bodies might think, oh, I'm just going through personal stresses. But check in on that, because you could be feeling things that are far greater than what's going on in your own life, what's going on in your family or your friend circle. You could be tapping into things that are going on in the whole world, and you might be in fight or flight due to bigger issues. And if you are, then it's like learning how to let your body let that go, learning how to surrender, learning how to receive. This is where we're going to find peace, people. Like, if our bodies can be peaceful, if everybody's body was peaceful, would we be having a war? Would we be fighting? Our bodies wouldn't be on fight or flight. So I don't know, just a concept. What a thought. We all just do some somatic breath work every day. We all just move it out of our bodies every day. We all change our thought patterns so that we can be more peaceful in our thoughts and ideas towards people. But we're still on a polarized planet, so that's probably, we're not there yet, but hopefully working towards it. So we look at surrender, and I like that word because it just feels more now like you are giving over, but not to the enemy. Giving over rather than giving in, or choosing to yield. Like, I choose not to fight. I yield. I yield to this. Can be really fun. Like, an intentional surrender is so much more fun than being obedient. However, sometimes those words like submission will kind of have the vibe of obedience, but that's not what they are. I don't even know what's happening to time, guys. I'm on my riffing. We're going to head off to our next commercial break. You're listening to The Pleasure Zone here on Inspired Choices Network, and we'll be right back after this commercial.
Are you secretly a voyeur, wondering what's going on in other people's sex lives? What if now is the time for a totally different sexual evolution? Are you interested in people who are pioneers of different sexual and pleasurable practices? Lean in now with Milica Jelinic, where she will entice you and your body to know your own pleasure zone. On the Pleasure Zone radio show with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic, you'll receive tools, inspiration, and a foundation to allow yourself to receive more in your sex life, and quite possibly other areas of your life as well. Listen for The Pleasure Zone with Milica every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific Time on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com.
How wonderful would it be to carry your favorite Inspired Choices Network host with you throughout your day? Well, now you can. Inspired Choices Network now has its very own mobile app. Our free app offers live streaming shows, along with thousands of podcasts and TV episodes. Our shows cover a wide variety of topics. Whether you're waking up with us, carrying us through the day, and taking us to bed with you, we're always here for you to enjoy. We're easy to find. Just search for Inspired Choices Network in the Apple App Store or Google Play Store.
This is The Pleasure Zone with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic. To participate in the program today, join our live studio audience in our chat room at InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. You can also make the choice to ask or comment by email, info@MilicaJelinic.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back, my sweet pleasure seekers. Today, we've been talking about the submission and the art of surrender. And one of the things that I'd mentioned earlier is just like what my thoughts and ideas around submission and surrender are, that they start with our thoughts and ideas. And then, or sometimes if you can't wrap your brain around letting go of a thought or an idea, using things like really fun, kinky tools like bondage in order to let your body surrender first. And then that can help with some of the neurological stuff and let your nervous system rewire in order to then have new thoughts and feelings. So they can work very well in tandem with each other. So learning how to trust yourself, I think there's so many things that we need to look at when it comes to surrendering. And one of those things is how to trust yourself and how to trust your partner. So when we look at trust in and of itself, I think for me, it was knowing that my husband, at the time when we were just first dating, that I had this crazy trust in him because I'd actually met him and known him previous before dating. And what I could see is that his word was clear and true. So he did construction on my house and he would show up when he said he would show up, which was amazing for me because the person that I had my child with didn't do that. They wouldn't show up on time. Sometimes they would show up early and then get mad that I wasn't ready. Sometimes they would show up extra late. Sometimes they would be too drunk to show up at all. So that trust wasn't there. And it's like, wow, the lying, the lying, the lying. So when you meet somebody who is impeccable in their word, if you look at the four agreements, so impeccable in their word, it can really be helpful in being able to start to develop trust with your partner. So for you, it's really good to look at what do you need in order to trust somebody? Do you need them to, when they say they're going to show up, they show up? That for me is really helpful. When they say they're going to do something, they do something. When they say that they have a certain belief that they don't go off, you know, they might say it privately one thing and then they say something else publicly, I don't trust that person. And I met somebody like that last year that was quite well known in politics and called him out on it because he said something privately. And then publicly, he went on a rant and I was like, wow, you are the biggest effing hypocrite that I've ever met. And he was like, well, you know, it's for the politics. I'm like, well, you suck as a human being that you don't have integrity. Anyway, he died a few months ago. That happens. So when I look at, is somebody impeccable with their word? Like, do they, what they say in private, do they also show that in public? And if they don't, if that's mismatched, chances are I'm not going to trust them. I don't know. Is that true for you too? And sometimes it's a sense that you have and you just feel like this, I'm okay with this person. I'm safe. I know that. And sometimes you just know that you know you're safe. Safety is huge, especially when it comes to being able to surrender. So, oh, it's fun, right? And it, in order for me to do this show that I do, I also have to trust and surrender the information that I have to the public, right? So there's a lot of ways that we do surrender in our lives that we just maybe don't think about. And if there's a resistance to doing those things, then there might be more of a thing of like wanting to control the situation or the outcome even, right? So, you know, a lot of people who like, all of our shows on Inspired Choices Network are a lot like they do not get edited. They're live. So and when we do, if we do pre-records, they're not edited at all. So whatever we say during recording is what you guys hear. And it takes a lot of trust in yourself to be able to do that. It takes a lot of trust in the audience that they want to hear that. And also a lot of trust in the team, the production team, that they got our backs no matter what happens. Right. So trust is an amazing thing. Look at all the places in your life where you might feel like trust is lacking. And I think what you can do is you could create a bit of I don't know, like just make some circles, bubbles, right? And put down the descriptions of what it is in these scenarios that you didn't trust about somebody. And you might find a theme going on. Oh, it's like, oh yeah, those 13 people that I don't trust, it's because they're not impeccable with their word. Oh, that's why. And there are some people that I trust that I know are always going to be late. I just know that that's how they operate. And I'll even schedule them different because I know that that's going to be the way that they 99% of the time operate. And until they can become impeccable with time, and their word too, and they're probably developing that because they're working on it, then yeah, until that happens, I trust that I know what I know. So one of the things with trust too is to have clear boundaries. Like if somebody says to you, I'm not okay with that, then whatever it happens to be, an action or using certain language or words. And, you know, in order to develop a sense of being safe with somebody and a sense of trust in them, is that if you tell them that you don't like something, that they stop. And then you can go, oh, thank goodness, I trust that I trusted them to do A, B, or C. And they did A, B, or C. Yay. I think you're going to notice a lot of different things when you start to explore what is trust for you, that you'll start to probably realize that there are a lot of things that maybe in your life you didn't trust, people you didn't trust, and the themes that go along with that. And then looking at how do you start to trust you more, trust your own knowing, and then how does that reflect out? So the inner reflecting the outer. So also asking yourself, where do you crave trust? Where do you crave trust so that you can have surrender? And where do you crave surrender? Do you crave surrender? Are there things that you're doing where you're feeling extremely overtaxed, tired, overworked, all the overs, you know, overwhelmed, overburdened? Are there places in your life where you have that? And you would love to surrender. You're like, you know what? I run a business that should have 10 people working for it. What can I surrender? And it takes a lot of trust to be able to hire people. So if you are in, my business isn't one that has a model that I can really do that. But the things that I can trust people with, I will hand it over things that I can legally trust people to do that. So looking at certain scenarios in your life, how do you know if you're trusting people? How do you know what you can surrender? Are you willing to surrender? What would that offer you if you did just say, for example, you needed to hire a person in your business? What would happen for you if you surrendered that? Say it was like VA work that you've been doing that you really didn't need to be doing. You could hire somebody to do it and that would free up your time. What would surrendering that do for you? It might actually create more space in your life so that you can do other things that you enjoy doing rather than the tasks that you don't enjoy doing that are taking up your time, that, you know, that surrender. And then when you learn to surrender that way to other things that are not sexual or kink related, it reflects in the rest of your life. So it's not that it's just going to reflect in, oh, I surrendered at work, it's just going to be work. It's when you start to surrender in one area, it will ripple effect into all your areas. You'll start to be able to, little bit by little bit, let go and give over things like tasks or give over stresses or trust that you could have a therapist that you could talk to give over your worries. And not that you give them your worries, but that you can discuss them so you can let them out of your body. And maybe you trust somebody enough to let them do body work on you. That's a surrender. When people come and get work from me, and to have the best session of your life, you need to allow your body to surrender. And when people do surrender, their bodies do amazing things. They will move in funny and interesting ways. Bodies will make interesting sounds, orgasmic almost. So that's like when bodies go into deep surrender, the joy sounds that come out of them are amazing. And sometimes there are really, what's the word for it? They're like real deep sounds from like, I don't know, from like thousands of years ago. They're just like instinctive animalistic sounds that will come out of your body when you surrender as well. Because sometimes you've been holding on to those for a really long time and your body just wants to just let it all out. There's such a relief in surrender and your body will thank you. Your body will receive it in different ways. Your neurological system will start to recalibrate, and it will do. And then all of a sudden, you're probably going to be like, why am I so calm? Like, you'll not even realize, like, calm, and I have action, and I have movement, and I actually have energy, and like, oh, I'm out of a funk. Like, how did that happen? So there's a lot of ways that you can work on the, you know, the whole polyvagal system to be able to bring your body to calm, get rid of trauma and stress. And we have workshops all the time for that. So if that's something you'd ever want to do, we have like half day, full day, 2 day. I haven't done a 3 day yet. Workshops that, if you'd like to be part of those, connect with me through my website, militsayelenich.com, and I'd be happy to either create one for you and your friends, or invite you to one that I've already got. To get on my mailing list, you can go onto my website as well, so that you can be invited to all the upcoming events. And when we're going to head to our next commercial break, but when we come back, we're going to talk about some other key tools. I know I've asked you to journal on some things, but we're going to talk about some other tools too, when we come back from this commercial break.
Are you secretly a voyeur, wondering what's going on in other people's sex lives? What if now is the time for a totally different sexual evolution? Are you interested in people who are pioneers of different sexual and pleasurable practices? Lean in now with Militsa Jelenich, where she will entice you and your body to know your own pleasure zone. On the Pleasure Zone radio show, with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Militsa Jelenich, you'll receive tools, inspiration, and a foundation to allow yourself to receive more in your sex life, and quite possibly, other areas of your life as well. Listen for The Pleasure Zone with Militsa, every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific Time on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. This is The Pleasure Zone with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Militsa Jelenich. To participate in the program today, join our live studio audience in our chat room at InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. You can also make the choice to ask or comment by email, info@MilitsaJelenich.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back, my sweet pleasure seekers. I'm thinking that maybe after this conversation about the, you know, the benefits of surrender and submission, and, you know, kind of some of the stories I told you, you might be able to relate to some of those things, you know, around control and how we need to start with our mind to be able to let go. I'm wondering if now you're like, I'd really like to try this submission thing out. So the first thing to do is, if you have a partner, have communication with your partner about that. How do you start a conversation like that? So for me, I find that just being bold and truthful is helpful, and saying things like, you know how in my life I've had a lot of things that were traumatic and stressful, and my body sometimes experiences different symptoms like pain or inflammation, and I'm really hoping to heal that. And one of the things I'd like to do to heal that is try some bondage in order to let my body release that. Is that something that you're comfortable with? And your partner might be like, oh, okay, let's try that. Or your partner might be like, yeah, that's a no for me, but I don't feel comfortable tying you up. Okay, cool. Fair enough. What you could ask is, if I tie myself up, can you just be there for safety reasons? Because you could just start with something really small, like just tying your ankles up. You don't even have to go out and get the fancy ropes that cost tons of money. You can go to your local hardware store and get really nice rope. I've done this, that. You can also use like silk ties and different things that are easier to untie. And using knots that are easy to untie is important too, especially if you're new to this. And have something like scissors in case you have to cut yourself free. So start with your feet if you're going to do it to yourself, because, you know, trying to tie up your own hands can be done. I think I did a video about that. But if you do that, it's going to be really hard to untie yourself or unlock yourself. But yes, you can actually tie up your own hands. So communication with your partner, asking, discovering, having, you know, open discussion around what that is and why you'd like to do it. And knowing that your partner could say no and honor that, because they don't have to do what you want to do. And So have the curiosity energy too. Just like have that, you know, I would like to try this because I don't really know what this will do for me, but it might do this, this, and this. And that wouldn't that be amazing and beneficial for both of us if I could experience that? Fantastic. So consent, curiosity, and communication are all really, really important. And if your partner is not consenting, that's okay. If you can do that for yourself, even better. And one of the other things that we need to do is definitely work on that trust, because that is usually where everything starts. So if you don't trust, you can't surrender. If you can't surrender, there's no sense of submission. If there's no sense of submission, then you can't get to that place where you're raw and real. And by that, I wrote that in the description. By raw and real, it's like letting your emotions out. You might feel like you're vulnerable. You might feel like, why am I crying or whatever. It's going to open the door to greater intimacy. It's going to help you feel more honest about who you are and what you feel. And by all means, have support systems in place, you know. So whether it's somebody like me as a sex and intimacy coach, or whether it's that you have really good conversation and communication with your partner, have that conversation with them. But if you need, it's really important with this kind of work to have aftercare. So whether that is with somebody who's a professional or just somebody that you trust that's your partner, have the aftercare. Have the aftercare in the moment as well if you're doing bondage, just having the conversation about, you know, how did you feel? How's your body doing? How are you doing? What did that bring up? It opens a lot of conversation. So hopefully, when you're saying yes to these things, know that it's not just the act that you're doing. You also need to have the aftercare and the conversations that occur afterwards, because it will bring things up and it will open doors to a whole bunch of emotions. And if those things are not addressed, it's going to shut down the trust. It's going to shut down the vulnerability. If those things are opened up and then the conversation continues and the energy keeps moving on that, it will create greater and greater discoveries within your relationship and make things so much more interesting. So what you're looking for is more of like a sacred surrender. That's what I'm going to call it. Sacred surrender, rather than that surrender word that often I would say originally for me sounded like I was giving into the enemy. Sacred surrender is giving into the all of you and allowing your body to absolutely relax into being, and being around somebody who you trust and is kind, and all the energies that you trust is going to be incredibly helpful for that. And I also want to point out that, you know, I think my first impression of what submission would have looked like was that being the slave, and that can be fun, playful kink as well, but that's not the conversation today. Submission is not about being inferior. Submission actually puts you into a place where you are able to be fully you. It's what you choose to do, what you choose to give up, what you choose to open up to, what you choose to receive. So some people would call it like an act of autonomy, or an act of authority, or an act of agency. So all of that can really help you feel empowered. This, all of this is for empowerment. All of this is a kind of healing that happens through pleasure. So how much fun can you have just allowing yourself to heal through pleasure? And before I forget, if you're enjoying this show, please give a 5-star review on iTunes, or even, you know, search me on other platforms like Spreaker and Spotify. Share this, share the Pleasure Zone wherever you can. I'd love to get more and more viewers happening after 11 years. I'd love to have some shows just go absolutely viral. It'd be amazing. So share this if you love this, and connect with me if something's going on and you would like to have more information. If you'd like to come into any of my workshops, find me through militsayelenich.com.
Thank you for choosing to listen to The Pleasure Zone with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Militsa Jelenich. We'll return next Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. We hope you'll join us. Until then, have the best week of your life by choosing to be turned on and tuned in to your body.